Tonight we're going to start a new series tonight for our Wednesday night study entitled Pleasing God. Pleasing God. And of course, the first question perhaps that would come to mind is, how do we please God? What would your answer to that be? If someone asked you, how do we please God? Well, we might say we just do everything the Bible says we're supposed to do, and that will please God. The Pharisees did everything the Old Testament said to do, and they did not please God. So there has to be more to it than just obedience. So let's look at this concept of how do we please God. Hebrews chapter 11, if you'll take your Bibles and turn there with me. Hebrews chapter 11. I'll give you a moment. All right, Hebrews chapter 11, I'll begin reading there in verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now skip down to verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, this Hebrews chapter 11, this chapter is most commonly known as what? Anybody? The Hall of Faith, right. The Hall of Faith, because it talks about faith a lot and all of these people that demonstrated faith. God tells us about some of the great heroes of our faith in this chapter. These are men and women who pleased God. They all have at least one thing in common with you and me. They all had problems, and yet they pleased God. And at times, their problems were really big problems, too. Now, what we're going to do is study them and see what God did in their lives and how God did it through their faith. I think we're going to see that the only thing limiting God from working in our lives and doing something in our lives like these people in this chapter, the only thing limiting God from doing that is our faith, our lack of faith. Jesus declared the very same principle, just so you know, it's not one I'm making up. In Matthew 9:29, he said, according to your faith, be it unto you. Whatever your faith is, that's what you get, in other words. If you have more faith, you get more. In a sense, that's what Christ was saying. So the only thing limiting God from blessing us immensely, from doing, let me make up a word, ginormous things through us, is our own lack of faith. I think that warrants us looking at that. So how do we please God? Well, according to Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible to please God without faith. So three requirements tonight for pleasing God. Number one, we first have to remember what faith is. What is faith? If someone were to ask you, what would your definition of faith be? The problem is, there is no definition of faith in the Bible. You won't find it. But there is a description of faith in the Bible. Here it is. Faith is the substance. Remember that? The substance of things hoped for, or the confidence. Something to stand on in regards to things hoped for. So substance is, faith is our confidence. This thing we stand on in regards to something that we're hoping for, the thing hoped for. Faith gives us confidence. that what we hope for will actually happen. When there is nothing tangible at all to support our faith, or to support our hope, that's when faith steps in. When we can no longer see it on our ledger sheet as working out, faith steps in. Like Abraham, it didn't make sense. God said, go. Where? Just go. I'll show you where. His son finally came in his old age. God said, kill him. Didn't make sense. Everything tangible that you could figure out in your mind had been cleared off the table. That's where faith steps in, right? Would you agree with me on that? So we can also unravel that. Until we clear off the table everything that makes sense to us and that we can figure out in our heads, we can't really say that we are men and women of faith, can we? Ooh. Let's just go on a little bit deeper with that. God told Abraham he would be the father of many nations. He's an old man. There's nothing tangible on the table to support that hope. Faith finally had to step in at that point. Romans 4:18 tells us that he had faith. No tangible evidence that it would ever happen, but he proceeded onward with faith. What does this kind of faith do for us as Christians? That kind of faith, it causes us, real simple, to believe God's promises. It really is that simple. That kind of faith, that's what it does. We now actually believe God's promises. We don't just say God's promises. We don't just put God's promises on the walls of our homes and on little placards and sayings. We actually believe God's promises. For example, in our giving, our faith giving. Remember, when does faith start? When does faith step in? When everything that makes sense is cleared off the table. Giving more than what we think we can afford, that's faith. Giving what we can afford, that's not faith, because it all makes sense to us. Like the widow and her mite. That was faith, folks. That was a demonstration of faith. There is no tangible evidence whatsoever that God will open the windows of heaven and shower us with blessings. But we do it anyway because of faith. That's what faith is. You know, non-believers have five senses: sight, sound, smell, taste, touch. Thank you. Okay. Christians have a sixth sense. It's called faith. Through faith, we can perceive the invisible, if you will. This is the kind of faith that the individuals in this chapter of Hebrews 11, that's the kind of faith they had. They're not listed in this chapter because of what they did. They're listed here because of what they had. And their faith got them a good report, the Bible says. Not because of what they did. Pleasing God requires that we remember, first of all, what faith is. Now, secondly, recognize God as a creator. As we look at our passage here in verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. You know what? That's a pretty concise verse for creation. Things which are seen, everything around us, was not made by something that we can see. So it was made from nothing. That's creation. Recognizing God as creator. I suppose there's many reasons, but why do you suppose one reason is that the world just cannot wrap their minds around creation, but rather it's evolution? It removes God. Without a creator, there's nothing we owe anything to. When there is a creator, we owe him something. He made us. Remove him, and there's no longer a higher authority. Unless we make one in our own image, which they've been doing since the beginning of the world. Faith that pleases God not only gives us assurance about God's promises, but also about the origin of the universe. We know its beginnings. We know it's God. It's through this faith that we understand that the universe was created by God's commands. To please God, we also have to, number three, according to our text, realize the rewards of faith. Look with me again at verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Look at verse 6, folks. This faith we are to have is more than just believing in God, believing that he created the universe. It is the faith that pleases God is a faith that believes he rewards them that seek him. Believing that God actually rewards us. That would make a huge difference in our motivation, would it not, if we really believed that? But we have to point out, the verse says, a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Saying, God, forgive me, I'm a sinner, I want to go to heaven when I die, amen. Getting my ticket to heaven does not mean I'm diligently seeking God. That just means that I've asked forgiveness for my sins. This is something completely different here. He rewards those that diligently seek him. Now, this isn't talking about seeking God for academic knowledge, to know more about him, but for a relationship with him, like we spoke of this last Sunday. Seeking and desiring that relationship with God. Having faith that he rewards those that do seek him. Now let me ask you this. If I could back this up, which I can't, so there automatically the illustration falls apart, okay? But if I could back this up, and I will give you $1,000 every time you step foot in this church for a church service, I think there'd be a lot of people here, a lot. Why? Because, well, you might be a little skeptical the first Sunday. Yeah, right. Preacher, going to pay $1,000 to everyone that comes. And then I do on your way out the door. And what are you saying on the way out the door? I knew those guys made lots of money. Man. Yeah. But then you come back next week. I do it again. Next week, I do it again. Now, you have faith. You still cannot explain it because in that interim time, you get out the church budget and you look to see how much I get paid. And you're like, there's no way he can do this. All tangible evidence has been cleared off the table. But I'm doing it. And you call the state lottery office to see if maybe I won under an assumed name or something. I'm just doing it. And now you have faith. And what does it make you do? You come. You keep coming. Because you have faith that you're going to be rewarded for it. So, when we truly have faith that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him, we will seek that relationship with him. We won't do it just because it's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to read our Bible every day. We're supposed to have prayer. We're supposed to have earnest prayer. Okay. Oh, I really mean this prayer. Oh, earnestly. And you don't feel any closer. Earnestly seeking God. God rewards those that diligently seek Him. Now, I wish that I could believe my own fantasy I've created in my mind, and that was when my wife saw me, I mean, she didn't stand a chance. She was, I mean, I just reeled her in just like that. I wished I could believe that, but I know that wasn't the case. I had to work on her. I had to work on her for a little while. I had to work on her mother even longer, because her mother knew me before I was saved. So I had to do some convincing that I wasn't the same person any longer. I had to diligently work at that. And look at the reward I got. Come on, come on, you got to do more for me there, folks. And I'm not just talking about my mother-in-law either. Folks, when we diligently seek God, God says He rewards us. Faith in that. Now, why is that such a big deal? Because if we truly believe that, then we would do it. And that's what pleases God when we seek Him, seek that relationship with Him. How does God reward us? Well, in John 10:10 tells us that Christ came so that we might have life more abundantly. This means beyond measure. Christ can give life a whole new meaning through purpose and guidance. A whole new meaning. Real living, folks, is more than prosperity, possessions, prestige, popularity, or power. Real living requires three things. Because there's lots of people that have these and they don't feel fulfilled. Here's what I believe real living requires: to be loved, to love someone, and to have a purpose for living. That's real living. You have those three, it really doesn't matter what you have or don't have. Because you've got those three things that cannot be bought with any amount of money. When we earnestly seek God, we have those three things. We are loved, and because we're seeking God, we love God, and we have purpose in life. A reason for being here. And suddenly, that job or our whole life doesn't feel like we're a hamster on a wheel, just running and getting nowhere. This abundant life that God gives because of faith in Him is not just a pie in the sky when we die kind of thing. It is a faith that allows us to live abundantly right here, right now, while we're on this earth. He's not talking about heaven here. He's talking about life more abundantly right now. Let's just consider three different rewards that He does give us. One of them is saving faith. For by grace are they saved. Are you saved through faith? That's a one-time experience there. That's a one-time reward. Through faith, we get salvation. The reward of saving faith is salvation. Another reward that we get from faith is a calming faith. One day the disciples, you remember this? They were, well, not because you were there, perhaps you've read about this. One day they were crossing the Sea of Galilee, a storm comes up. Remember, Jesus is sleeping in the back of the boat. In a panic, the disciples wake up Christ. They ask Him to save them. And He said, "Why are you afraid, O ye of little faith?" Much faith is calming faith. It enables us to weather the storms of life that happen to all of us with a sense of calmness. And number three, empowering faith. Experiencing God's power in our lives doesn't just happen because we're saved and suddenly we are Superman. No. Matthew 13:58 says, "And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." Speaking of Jesus' hometown, he went there when he was on his miracle tour, you might say. And he didn't do anything there because of their unbelief. So flip the coin around. Belief, faith equals empowerment, equals God's power in our life. When God's power is missing from our lives, there's one reason: unbelief. The reward of empowering faith is experiencing God's power in our lives, folks. Now, in a sense, if we are to be pleasing to God, we are to have a pleasing faith. If we have a pleasing faith, then these rewards will be present, based on what we've seen here laid out for us in Scripture. So let's turn that application around. If these rewards are not present, then we don't have a pleasing faith. And if we don't have a pleasing faith, then we're not pleasing God. That should concern us, folks. That's why we're going to spend some time looking at this and how we can please God in the weeks to come. Let's stop here and break up into some prayer groups.